Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Today we get to talk about Aunt Bethany. How many of you guys, this is your favorite character of the Griswold movie? Yes, I know. It very much is. I find myself in all of them. And so as we look at Aunt Bethany today, I'm excited to see her life. Because if you've maybe you've been Aunt Bethany. Like some of you could like take this seat at the table with the Jell-O mold, and you could represent her well this morning, right? Or maybe you know that one, right? There's that one in your family, right? Like she wraps up her cats, right? Like she brings Jell-O salad with some questionable things floating around in it, right? They say things at the Thanksgiving or at the dinner table that make just everybody just like, huh, what's going on? Like that is someone in all of our families. And that's why I love this movie so much, is because it represents a lot of families. It represents a lot of what we've got going on in life. But as we look at Jesus's family, those same characters are right there, right? Aunt Bethany's sweet. She's kind. She's a little confused, but she shows up in these moments that make us laugh, but also remind us of something that's very powerful, that faith doesn't always look the way that we expect it, right? And so some of us can feel like Aunt Bethany, right? When it comes to faith, if you've been around a while, right? Or maybe you've gone through some stuff, right? You've lived plenty of life. And maybe you end up at the table with some loss, maybe with some regret. And your faith maybe has gotten rusty. You forget all the words to the prayer, right, that you're supposed to pray, and you end up saying the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Maybe you're here and you've been to the retreat, you've been to the event, you've been to the summer camp, and every day doesn't feel like that. And so you're wondering now, what do I do? Well, that's where we tie Aunt Bethany in with Sarah. Sarah, as I said earlier, is Abraham's wife, and we're gonna pick up her story in Genesis 18. And if you've got the Innovation Church app, you can follow along with the notes in there. It simply looks like our logo with that, and you can click that, and it's got sermon notes where you can fill in the blank as well as see the scriptures in case you forgot your glasses like me here this morning. But we pick up Sarah's story in Genesis 18. Some of you may know a little bit about Sarah, but Sarah was Abraham's wife. We talked about Abraham being the father of the faith early on in this journey, and we've seen his struggle of just trusting God and going to an unknown land. But what about the spouse, right? There's the spouse that's there. The spouse that hears the promise of God and how she reacted, I think, tells an even bigger story. In Genesis 18, we see right here, 18 verses 10 through 14, it says, "Then one of them said, 'I will return to you about this time next year, and your Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was listening. She was overhearing. She was eavesdropping, right? As wives can maybe do sometimes. But Sarah was listening to the conversation in the tent. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time. Sarah was long past the age of having children, and so she laughed, kind of inwardly. She laughed silently, it says, to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh?" He probably didn't hear it. He didn't know what was going on. It says it was a silent inward laugh, but the fact is, God hears what's going on inside of us, right? He's the one that's always looking at the heart, not just the muscle just beep, bumping us together, right? Like the inward thoughts, the inward emotions, the inward questioning, and also the inward laughing. And so God says, "Why did she laugh? Is anything too hard for God?" You know, if somebody told you were going to have a child, what would your laugh sound like? Miss Angela, what would your laugh sound like if you just all of a sudden heard, Jerry? What would your laugh? What would your laugh sound like? It would be interesting. Miss Jeannie, what about you? What do you think your laugh would sound like? right? Like we were at an appointment for Mandy, and they were like, well, do I, she was like, I drank water all the way here, and I haven't gone to the bathroom. Can we go ahead and do the urinalysis? And they were like, well, we only do that if you're pregnant. And she's like, ha, that's long done. That's over, tied up, knotted up, double knotted. Like, we're good to go. And so they didn't need to. And so there's those types of laughs that go on, like, because I don't know if we truly understand. This isn't a joyful, faith-filled laugh. This is a, yeah, right. I've heard this promise before. 25 years prior that Abraham's, they even tried their own ways to make Abraham this father of many nations, and that didn't work well either. But we've all probably been there where God gives us a promise and our first response may not be praise, right? It'd be, sure, God, if you say so. Sure, you're gonna take this messed up life, you're gonna take this person, you wanna use a wretch like me? You don't know what he knows what we've done. Many times I give people the benefit of the doubt and I try to think good thoughts. But Sarah, I don't think she was doubting God. I don't think she was at least doubting his power. She's probably doubting that he would still want to use her, right? I mean, a God promised that Abraham would be the father of many nations, and it hadn't worked well so far. She thought her season had passed, and maybe you have too. Because Sarah's 89 years old, just in case you didn't know that number. 89 years old? Any 89-year-olds ready to have a baby in the room? Holy moly, that's a long 18 years, right? But what if, no matter our age, if we were willing to trust and obey in a God, whether we're 8 or 89, I believe God is ready to use us, and if we're ready to be used by Him, we need to realize that God wasn't done with Sarah, and He's probably not done with you. I love to say that if you're not dead, then He's not done. And so Abraham's 99 years old. There's plenty of things that have forgotten how to swim. But in Hebrews 11, that was not in my notes. Edit that one out. Sorry, online people. That's now on YouTube, and it's got a remix in the back. But Hebrews 11 takes a look at this same story. I love how many times and they give us a great example. The disciples and the writers are constantly connecting the Old Testament promises to what the New Testament fulfillment has happened. And they make that tie-in so well. But he says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep His promise. In other words, her faith outlasted her circumstances. Does it ours? No matter what circumstances we're looking at, no matter what circumstances we're facing, as I was standing there with Danny, I'm 46, I've never been married, my life's been a mess. As he's standing back looking at all the grandkids running around and seeing all the families and all the laughter, hiding behind the glasses was a broken man who desired all of those things. And I believe God still has some promises for him and some fulfillment just as much as I believe it for you. But maybe you're here today and you're like Sarah. You're thinking, my best days are behind me. God's whispering, no, your faith story, it could just be getting started. Or you could be getting back on track. And Aunt Bethany might have forgotten the blessing, but she had faith. She didn't have the right words, but she showed up at the table, and God will work with whatever we show up with. He's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for those that are willing to be present. That's all he asked of the disciples, the tax collectors, the murderers, the fishermen, the people that Jesus chose to be his posse, to be his disciples, to follow him. All he said to them, follow me and I will make you. That's really what he says to us. Are you willing to follow me? Because faith doesn't have to be fancy. Sometimes it sounds like, God, I'm still here. Maybe laughing on the inside. I may be wondering, but I still believe. I still trust. I'm still going to show up. And just like Sarah, God can take what feels impossible and he can make it incredible. And that's what we're here to even celebrate today. Right? We don't just heat up a baptism or a hot tub for fun here on the stage. It's not just how we relax as church staff in the middle of the week, right? I mean, we don't just come in here and I want to show you because the bubbles do work. Like this isn't just a party for us. That would be weird. But what it is today is it's that public declaration. For those that have said inwardly, not like Sarah, like how could God ever use me, but say, okay, God, I'm ready to trust you. I'm ready to follow after you. And I'm so excited. We have people both in this service and in next service. And we even had so many, we had a few ask, I want to invite people at Thanksgiving. And so can I move my baptism to the 30th so my family can be here so that they can see the direction I'm headed? And I was so excited to say, I was like bummed, like, okay, is it going to be too cold outside? Is the water hose going to be frozen? How are we going to get this filled up? No, I was just like, yes, we will do that. Because it's a moment of celebration. Not a moment of perfection. It's a moment that Romans 6:4 begins to talk about. It says, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. Right? This is that symbol, this outward declaration of that inward decision. It doesn't get us into heaven. Sorry if that was what you were thinking. It doesn't even get you into like church membership or anything like that. That's not what this is for. This is an outward declaration of an inward decision. That we're buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. It says, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I once was going this way, and I have turned around. And God is leading me on this path forward. Baptism isn't just about what's behind you. It's about what's ahead of you. It's not a graduation. It's a new beginning. Sarah's story didn't end with laughter of doubt. It ended with laughter of joy. In fact, her son is named Isaac, and it literally means laughter. So the very thing that she once laughed at in disbelief became her reason to laugh again in delight. And that may be your story as well. The things that people used to laugh at you and you're never going to amount to anything. Who do you think you are? How do you think? Right? How are you going to turn out? You're that kid. It's going to be a whole different story. As you begin to follow him and he makes you. And that's how good God is. He takes our doubt and he turns it into deliverance. He takes our waiting and he turns it into wonder. So if you've been here, today and you felt forgotten, maybe you thought your time has passed, right? Well, we didn't card too many 89-year-olds here this morning as you came in the door. But Aunt Bethany, Sarah, they proved, at least to me, that you're never too old. It's never too late and you're never too far gone for God to use you. When we think our time has passed, God is often just planning a new beginning. So today, as we get ready to celebrate with those who are going public with this decision, would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you never forget about us. That God, even when we feel overlooked, or when we're past our prime, that you remind us that your promises don't expire. That God, like Sarah, we've all had moments where we've laughed in complete and utter disbelief, where our plans have seemed too big, or God, often too late. But God, today we choose to trust in you. Some of us choosing to trust in you again. And God, we believe that if we're still breathing, that you're still working. So God, I ask that you would reignite our faith, God. Help us to keep believing. Help us to keep hoping. Help us to keep stepping forward. Because you're the God who brings life to what feels long and to what feels dead. You know, there may be some of you in here as we stay in this moment of prayer. Some of you in here that the truth is that your faith has felt dry, your faith has felt distant, or maybe it never really started. Maybe you've been trying to do life on your own way, but you feel God calling you back and saying, let's go, it's time to start again. Saying, you're not too old, you're not done, you haven't messed up too much, it's time to start again. And that's what salvation is. It's God saying, or it's us saying to God, I'm done settling, and I'm ready to move forward with you. If that's you and you're here today, I want to lead you in a simple prayer, but I want to warn you that it's not magic words. It's not something that we say and instantly everything changes. It's a moment of salvation. It's a starting line prayer in the race of life, in the race of faith, and this journey with Jesus. And so it's not magic words, but I would say that it's sincere words. That we cry out to Jesus, that we ask him to be our Lord and our Savior, and we say that from this day forward, we're choosing to follow after him. And so if you're here today, whether in person or online, and that's a decision that you know that you need to make, whether you're 8 or 89, this simple prayer can be your beginning. So would you pray this prayer after me? Pray, Jesus. Thanks, church, for joining in with them. I forgot to say that reminder that we as a church, we pray this prayer together with those that are praying it for the first time, because that's what we do. We realize that we're better together as a church. And so let's start that off again. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for each and every one of my sins. I believe you rose from the dead to give me new life. Today I give you my heart. And I ask that you would forgive me, that you would change me, and that you would lead me from this day forward. Jesus, today I choose to follow after you. Name I pray. Amen.
It's that time. Christmas time is here. Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh. Santa's on his way. Hip, hip, hooray for Christmas vacation.